Good morning. This is Pastor Ron from Lighthouse Church welcoming you to our daily manna, a little spiritual nourishment from God's Word. And we're going to be hopefully wrapping up Proverbs chapter 25 today, but first we need to pray. So won't you join me as we pray? Father, how good it is to set our minds on you, to focus our attention on you, to listen, Lord. And so there's so much that you long to share with us. And so, Lord, I pray that that's exactly what you would do today is bless us with the truth and the promises of your word. But also, Lord, I pray you bless us with ears to hear what your spirit has to say. Help us not just to hear the words, but to listen and to understand and to apply them. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts today for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So we've been looking at Proverbs chapter 25. And Proverbs chapter 25 is literally physical examples of what it looks like to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life or not. The fruit of the Spirit speaks specifically about the work of God in your life to control one's emotions or desires, to keep them in check, but more than just keeping them to check, but to keep them aligned with the heart of Christ, especially when we face difficult or stressful situations. It's like, how do you respond? Well, hopefully you respond by turning to the things that the Lord has shown you in his word, the promises that we have. And so we're going to pick back up here in Proverbs chapter 25, beginning verse 25. It says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. So it's refreshing and calming to hear good news from a far country. Well, the way that I attribute that from my own life is when our son and daughter used to travel from Twin Falls, Idaho, up through the Palouse, or up over the Blues, I should say, and up through the Palouse there to Spokane, where they went to school. And, you know, it's like, okay, as a parent, you're always concerned for your child, right? And so what do? Well, for me, I needed to start praying. That's what calmed my fear-filled thoughts, because we can imagine all kinds of things that could go wrong, right? But that's not what God would have for us. Our trust needs to be in him and to know that he's got him, no matter what the circumstances are, but he's got him. And I need to stay in a place of prayer and focus and trust in their care. And trust that it's all going to work out well. But it still is really good when you get that phone call and from your child that says, hey, we made it. We made it home. You know, and it's like, oh, that's good news. Like cold water to a thirsty soul is good news from a far country. So verse 26, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Oh, you know, the biggest example that I can think of in that respect is when you lose self-control. Well, what is one of the ways that people lose self-control? I think it's at athletic events, because the referee or the umpire makes a call that you don't quite agree with. And sometimes we even express our disagreement with them. You know, and the simple part about it is they're men, they're fallible, and we expect that they're going to always call things the way that we think that they should. But where the problem exists is when we lose self-control and we speak our mind. You know, and in particular for me as a pastor, if I were to chide a referee, oh man, people are going to notice. And it's like, oh, I blew it again. So you can tell that I'm not innocent, that I have blown it, but it's like, oh Lord, oh, I'm so sorry. Because the truth of the matter is I'm still going to be reflecting Christ in what I do. And so is he reflected in the things that I say? Do I rest on my Holy Spirit or do I just react, right? And so I got to be careful with that. Well, because the truth of the matter is I have reacted and it's not gone well. In fact, I feel bad immediately inside of me. But I think that there's something that we have to remember, you know. It's like, so what takes place in the focus of my attention is looking at or remembering what God has done for me. In Galatians 3:13, it says this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. You know, it's kind of like the referee of life is the enemy who says, I want you under my control, so I'm going to condemn you and I'm going to point out all your wrongs. But Christ does this. Christ redeems us from all those curses of the laws and our failures by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. I can't go and earn it. So many times people are taught so subtly and deceptively that you can earn your salvation, that you can become worthy for God. And that is so untrue. God's word never speaks of that. In fact, if there's anyone that's worthy, it's Christ and Christ alone. He's the one who was able to hang on the cross to take my curses, the things that the enemy would have claim, if you will, in my life of condemning me. You know, his voice is loud, and I have to be careful about listening to it, especially because I'm redeemed by the blood of Christ, by faith, very clearly stated. Verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. So this verse is greater explanation of the verse that we talked about, verse 16, up earlier in the chapter. It says, if you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. One of the things that we talked about there was, are you a tutor of your own horn? You know, if you've done something spectacular or marvelous or whatever, do you toot your horn and do you keep tooting your horn? Well, the passage was, be careful about doing that. You know, you just leave it to you. I think it's interesting that in Proverbs 27:2, which we're going to get there hopefully this year, it says this: let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. You know, there's nothing wrong with someone coming and acknowledging something that you've done well. But the difference is just thank them kindly. Say, thank you so much. That's so encouraging. But then praise the Lord. He's the one that's working in you and through you. Because when we don't, it's like muddied spring or a polluted fountain. See the correlation? And finally, verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and is left without walls. Self-control. Self-control is our protector. It's our shield for our hearts and our minds, for our lives. And so the thing that we must know is the value of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That God does a work that's greater because it's a work that's reflecting His character in us. And so self-control is a great thing for us to consider, that our response is our responsibility, but our responsibility is to trust in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to minister to the blessing, Lord willing, to both God and to others. God bless you all, and thank you for joining me today.